Hello, sports fans, and welcome back to Ball Games and Beyond. I am your host, Evan Grote, and Ball Games and Beyond is brought to you by Sportsnet.com. I've got two things I need you to do here before we go any further on the show this week. Number one, please follow and subscribe us on our YouTube channel. Okay, you can search that. Go to Sportsnet on YouTube, and you'll find it. Click that notifications bell as well so that anytime there's a new episode of Ball Games and Beyond available, you'll get it right to you. The second thing I need you to do, as of last week, we now are available in audio form only on many of the major podcasting platforms. So you can follow us there as well by searching Ball Games and Beyond. Now, as was the case last week, it was another very busy week in sports. We've had a lot of different headlines kind of taking center stage. If you're a Yankees fan, you're very, very concerned right now with the status of Gerrit Cole, having some issues with his throwing elbow. Sounds like right now he's going to be out at least 1 to 2 months. He's getting further testing done. So that's a big story right now in sports. And of course, NCAA college basketball really ramping up with conference tournament play this week as they are getting set to release their brackets on Sunday. I am looking forward to that. March Madness is one of my favorite events of the year. I'm sure you feel the same way. So looking forward to that coming up here in a few days. But the number one topic this week, the number one headline is the NFL. And they kicked off their new league year on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And the NFL, they know how to get their new year started. They get it going with free agent frenzy. It comes fast and furious. It even starts before the league year actually gets underway with their legal tampering period. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that this week. In particular, what I want to focus on is the running back market and how we are now seeing the position valued once again, and running backs actually getting paid. That was not the case last year. The question that I want to pose to you guys, and it's the area that we will dive a little deeper this week, is why the change? Is there a change in philosophy with general managers, or is there another reason? So we're going to get into that a little bit more. And in segment two of the show this week, we're going to have our guest Frank Schwab join us, who is an NFL writer from Yahoo Sports. And we're going to get into some of these same topics with Frank and get some of his thoughts as to why running backs are all of a sudden getting paid this year. So that's the rundown for the show. You guys can sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, as I said, NFL free agency dominating the conversation. And I want you to think back to last year at this time. And I want you to think about some of the running backs that were available. You had Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, and Tony Pollard, who had the franchise tag placed on them. And I also want you to think about some of the running backs that held out into training camp. Jacobs, Barkley, Jonathan Taylor was another holdout into training camp. Not the case this year. Within the first 48 hours of the legal tampering period, you saw a number of running backs reported that they had agreed to deals with new teams for, you know, deals upwards of 2 years from 2 years to 4 years, anywhere from $20 million to $48 million. So there's definitely been a change in philosophy. In my, you know, as I was preparing for the show this week, I wanted to know why. Why now are the running backs all of a sudden being a bit more valued than what we have seen in last year? And so I've decided to lay out my three factors as to why I think that is the case. So I'm going to start with factor number one. I think the fact that the salary cap increased dramatically from 2023 has a big is playing a big role in what we're seeing this year. Now, it was unexpected as well. It has to be said that many, from what I have read, many of the owners and coaches and general managers of NFL teams were not expecting this type of increase, upwards of $30 million. So that gives these teams a little bit more flexibility within the salary cap. So I think that was one major factor that we have seen. Number two, when you look at the talent pool that was available this year versus last year, there's a lot more high-end talent. Last year, I just mentioned Barkley, Jacobs, Pollard, they did not even reach the open market because they were franchise tagged. Some of the players that received some of the larger contracts last year in free agency, we saw David Montgomery, we saw Miles Sanders, Jamal Williams. So those are the guys that once Barkley, Jacobs, and Pollard were off the table, those guys kind of became your higher end talent that was available. Compare that to this year, and it's a much different situation. You had guys like Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry. You had, again, I mentioned Jacobs and Barkley. And so there's more options for NFL teams this year. And I think because of that, they saw that and they thought to themselves they had to be a little bit more aggressive in going and trying to get themselves a high-end running back. I mean, Josh Jacobs was a guy who led the NFL in rushing two seasons ago. Derrick Henry's a former NFL rushing champ as well, and we know how talented Saquon Barkley is as well. So that's factor number two. And then factor number three, which I think led to the boom in the market for running backs this year, is the draft class. The 2024 draft class it's kind of weak at the running back position. I was looking through Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, his top 50 prospects. I didn't see one running back listed in the top 50. And now that's not to say you can't get yourself a quality running back, because we all know that you can find a really good running back in rounds 3, 4, even 5 of the NFL draft. But that high-end talent, like that Bijan Robinson that we saw last year go in the top, 7 picks, I think it was, top 5 maybe, you don't have that type of talent coming out of the draft this year. So again, I think teams looked at that, and then they saw what was available in free agency, and they thought to themselves, we better go get ourselves one of these guys so that we can really improve our run game. So those are some of my thoughts on why business is booming right now for running backs. We're going to step aside and take a quick break right now. And when I come back, we're going to be joined by Frank Schwab. And we're going to ask Frank what he thinks about this and much, much more. So you don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to miss our conversation coming up next on Ball Games and Beyond. And welcome back to Ball Games and Beyond. And now we are going to bring in our guest for this week's show. Joining us this week is Frank Schwab, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. And Frank, I know it's been a very busy week for you covering the league, and so we appreciate you making a few minutes for us. Welcome to Ball Games and Beyond.
Absolutely glad to be here. And yeah, crazy week. Usually NFL free agency, it falls kind of flat. We make a big deal out of it, but it's a lot of, maybe defensive linemen, offensive linemen moving teams, not that big a star power, but we had a lot of stars moving teams this week, including a big time quarterback carousel move with Kirk to Atlanta. So it's been a fun week in the NFL. A lot of interesting storylines.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start there with the quarterback. Of course, the topic of the show today is NFL free agency. And what I want to do is spend some time talking about the running back market with you. But before we do that, we have to talk about the headline here of the free agency class. And that, of course, that was Kirk Cousins. I don't think anybody has played the free agent market as well as Kirk Cousins, getting himself all of that guaranteed money. He did it again this time around, signing with the Falcons, and I think it automatically catapults the Falcons to the top of the NFC South division. But I want to get some of your thoughts now on Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
No, I'd agree with you. They're the best team in the South right now. Not that that's saying much. The South is the worst division of football, but you look at the weapons. You look at the coaching change, I think, was a big deal for them, an upgrade. And the Falcons should win that division. The only thing I push back on is we just expect Kirk to be just Kirk Cousins we've seen the past few years. He's coming off an Achilles injury, and that's no joke. That is a tough injury. And I get it. He's not a runner. He's not Lamar. But it still affects you. And he's also entering an age at 36 where quarterbacks really start to slow down. We've all been fooled by Tom Brady. Tom Brady was awesome at like age 44. And that's just not the norm. If you look at every other quarterback through history, very few of them are at the top of their game into their late 30s and definitely not into 40. And now we're reaching that range with Kirk Cousins, and he's coming off a major injury, and he wasn't one of these elite guys. I mean, when you're elite like an Aaron Rodgers and you fall back a little bit, you're still very good. Kirk was very good. Does he fall back a little bit to just above average? There's just a lot more risk in this contract than I think anybody's talking about, but I get it. It's tough to find a quarterback. The Falcons did what they had to do. They had to look around at all the talent around the quarterback position and say, if we could just get, B-plus quarterback play, we could really even make a deep playoff run. And so they did what they had to do. I think there's a lot of risk involved, but they're willing to take on that risk.
Absolutely. Just getting, like you said, just getting some B-plus quarterback play in that division. When you look at some of the other quarterbacks that are in that division, they should certainly make a run at the playoffs next year. One of the other topics that I wanted to talk to you about today, I've been following you on X a little bit today, and of course, we got news on Thursday from the NFL that they want to look into and investigate some potential tampering that may have been going on with the Falcons and Kirk Cousins, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles in their pursuit of Saquon Barkley. I'd like to get some of your thoughts on that.
I just find it funny because every team in the NFL is tampering at some level. I mean, let's be real. We had, I think it was DeAndre Swift to the Bears happen, reported, I should say, 12 minutes into the legal tampering period. You're telling me they ironed out a $24 million deal in less than 12 minutes? Probably not. I mean, but everybody around the league knows this. It happens. When you get to the combine, all the teams are there. All general managers are there. All decision makers are there. Also, you know who else is there? The agents, because they all have their annual meeting there. So a lot of stuff happens in Indy. I've heard about, you know, I've gone out to the combine. I've covered it. The other reporters who have covered the combine know a lot of stuff happens there. You hear about a lot of stuff that's going to happen there. And it's funny to me that that all of a sudden I was like, oh no, maybe the Eagles tampered with Saquon Barkley. Yeah, everybody's tampering with everybody. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And if the NFL comes down on them, the Eagles would probably be throwing up their hands saying, us, really? Of all these teams, we're the ones you're going to come after? I don't think anything will come of it, but it is an interesting thing. It's just everybody plays the game, but you got to be smart about it. You can't be like, I think Kirk Cousins said something during his press conference, kind of led everybody to believe he'd been talking to Atlanta before this week. And you just play cool. Like, everybody knows what's going on. Just don't be obvious about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's ridiculous that the NFL actually wants to spend time and resources on something as silly as tampering. They're very naive to think that that stuff's not going on. But and again, I totally agree with you. But yeah, I saw you were pretty vocal about that on Twitter, so I thought we'd let you share some of those thoughts with our viewers. Let's move into the main topic of the show now, and that is free agency, but in particular the running back market and kind of the shift we have seen, at least from last year to this year, with running backs once again seemingly being valued and getting paid. I mean, think back just a year ago. He had three running backs who had the franchise tags placed on them. We saw running backs holding out. I'm sure you recall Austin Eckler and Saquon Barkley and other running backs kind of came together and had a conference call to come together and try to brainstorm some ideas and kind of voice some of their displeasure with the way the running back market has been devalued, but not the case this year. We saw a lot of contracts being agreed upon and within the first 48 hours of the legal tampering period. So I guess my question to you is, you know, why the change from last year to this year? Is there a philosophy change, or you know, what's your take on that?
My belief is it's just going to be a one-year thing, and it was kind of a perfect storm this year. The rookie class at running back is pretty weak. I don't think in other years, if you're a team, you know, looking at, do we pay this running back $24 million over 3 years? No, there's five ready to go starting running backs in the draft. That was not the case this year. It's a really, really weak class for running backs. So that added into it. And I just think this running back class was really good. You look at some of the names. Josh Jacobs was an all-pro 2 years ago. Saquon Barkley's been a star for many years. We all thought the world of Tony Pollard. He kind of had a so-so season. But yes, I do think that there was more of an emphasis on spending at running back, partially because a lot of teams had cap room, and what else are you going to use it on? Everybody else got franchised, right? Like, I mean, there wasn't a ton out there in free agency to spend it on. So why not spend it on a running back? You know you're going to get production out of him. And I think the interesting part was not just the high-end guys, the Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley's, but Tony Pollard coming off honestly, a little disappointing season that he wasn't better as a Cowboys lead guy. He still gets $8 million a year. DeAndre Swift, who started really well last season and then kind of tapered off, and his career in Detroit was such that they just traded him for almost nothing. He got $8 million a year. So, yes, there was some bump with running backs this year. I don't know if it's going to continue. And also, I don't want to overstate it either, because you look at them versus some of these receivers. I mean, Calvin Ridley got $92 million over 4 years. Darnell Mooney, who has 902 yards the last 2 years combined, got more money than Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or any running back this year. So I think that it's still not a running back's world or anything, but it was nice to see some of those guys get paid, you know, what they did and feel valued and look like those teams really, really want to feature them in their offenses.
Yeah, that's a good point you made there. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, yes, the running backs were getting paid a little bit more this year than what we saw last year, but compared to other positions in the NFL, they're still very much underpaid. You mentioned one of the factors you thought for the booming market was a weak draft class. What about the salary cap increase? I know you did touch on the salary cap a little bit, but an unexpected rise in the salary cap this year. How much do you think that played into the way teams felt about spending a little bit more on the running back position?
I totally think that it factored into it, because suddenly there are a lot of teams with a surplus of cap room. And I think about the Bears, and, you know, I mean, they go in, I think they were in the $70 million range in cap room. And you start looking and you say, okay, well, you know, we can spend on who really? I mean, only one team is getting Christian Wilkins. He was the big prize, I guess. And they didn't need a quarterback, so you're not spending on Kirk Cousins. We're not going to use all this cap space. Well, why not get a running back we really like? It's better than just leaving the money on the table. And he can help a quarterback like Caleb Williams if they go that route, or even if Justin Fields is back, whatever. It is a help to your team. And the fact that every team seemed to be, well, not every team, not the Chargers, not the Saints, not the Bills, but a lot of teams had all of this cap room and seemingly just nothing to do with it. Again, if you got the cap room, go get yourself a good, solid quality player. I think the Commanders, too. The Commanders, I think, came in with 80-some million in cap room. What are you going to spend it on? There's not enough quality players to go around. Might as well give some to Austin Eckler. At least, you know, he's good for your locker room. He's a good leader. I still think he's got some production left in him. So, yes, I absolutely think the bump in salary cap helped these running backs, because I think teams just looked at this as kind of bonus, you know, house money. Let's make a luxury signing on a really, really good running back who can help our offense.
Yeah, I think I counted, I think it was 12 or 13 running backs the last I checked that had signed contracts already. You know, we're only a couple, or 48 hours into, or 24 hours, I should say, into free agency. When you look at the guys who were signed, can you pinpoint maybe one or two that you think landed in a really good position as far as you know, offensive scheme, and you think that they are in for a really big year here in 2024?
And I think the obvious answer is Derrick Henry. He goes to a team that could really run the ball because of Lamar. And Lamar just changes the run scheme. I mean, you got to account for him every single play. Derrick Henry has never played in an offense where he's not getting eight-man boxes. He is the focal point every single time he touches the ball for the Tennessee Titans. That's not the case anymore. He's not the focal point of that offense. That becomes Lamar Jackson. I think the lanes are really going to open up for Derrick Henry, who, at age 30, look, he's taking a step back. We can all see him a little bit slower. He's had a million touches by now in his NFL career, but I think this can extend his NFL career. I don't know that we're ever going to see the 2,000-yard Derrick Henry again, but we could see a guy who all of a sudden is like, wow, I didn't know what it was like to run against light boxes and you know, with running lanes, because I had this quarterback next to me who can also run for 1,000 yards. I thought that was a great fit. Another one was Zach Moss. I mean, he goes to Cincinnati on a pretty cheap deal. And I think that he's going to, he had really, really good flashes with the Colts last year, almost to the point of like, what did they do? They got Jonathan Taylor back, but Zach Moss is playing so well. I think that's a really, really good fit and a good offense. And for the Bengals, a pretty good price. I think $4 million a year for him. So those were two that stood out. And also Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs is a heck of a player. I was kind of dubious on him before 2 years ago when he had that unbelievable all-pro season. He goes to a team that values a run game. One of the reasons Packers got hot late last season was Aaron Jones was so good. I think they upgraded from Aaron Jones. I think the Packers believe they upgraded from Aaron Jones, obviously. And I think Josh Jacobs has a massive season with the Packers.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of those guys, especially Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. I think that'll be interesting to see how not only does that help him playing with Lamar, but how it helps Lamar as well. Our guest this week on Ball Games and Beyond is Frank Schwab, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. We're talking some NFL free agency. We're talking about the running back market this year. Before I get you out of here, I have a couple more for you. And this is kind of overall big picture. And I know we're very, very early on in free agency. But what a lot of people like to do is kind of take a look at the winners and the losers of free agency. I don't think it's fair to you know, completely put a grade on a free agent class when we're only, you know, 24 hours in. But very early, can you take a look at a team that you think have improved themselves so far with maybe a big splash signing or two that they've made so far?
Yeah, I think the Packers lead that list for me. I already talked about Josh Jacobs, but they got McKinney, the safety from the Giants, too. I think that was really I think they're going in the right direction. They got a lot of momentum, and they kept that momentum going. I think they really did well. I think the Houston Texans did well. To go and get Daniel Hunter, who is basically almost a lock for 12 sacks a year. I mean, you look at his stats, and it's just he just steps into 12, 14 sacks every single season. He's great at rushing the passer. He can really – him and Will Anderson on both sides is just a great, great start for that Texans defense. The Texans were in that position of, oh, my goodness, we have this unbelievable guy coming off his rookie quarterback deal, and we could really spend some money, and they did. And I thought they did so smartly, and I think the Texans' arrow shooting straight up. And then there's a few – and I also think I got to give a shout-out to the Raiders, who I think – you know, the Wilkins move just kind of – a lot of people were like, why spend that much money when you don't have your quarterback situation figured out? Well, two different things. You can still improve your team, so you hope to get the quarterback situation right, and you got a really good defensive line and an improved defense. I thought Wilkins was the prize of free agency, just clean in every way, good against the run, good against the pass, character guy, good leader, good age. He's still at a prime age. So for the Raiders, who are trying to kind of get some respect back, I think, in the NFL, trying to challenge the Chiefs and be one of those players relevant in the NFL. I think for them, Lan Wilkins was a really nice thing for them. And Minshew, I thought Minshew was a smart ad for them because it opens up options at the quarterback position for them where, hey, if we don't land our guy in the draft or we land a guy who we think maybe just needs a year to sit, all options are open because Minshew's a perfectly fine starter if you have to go with him for a year.
Yeah, you know, I spent 5 years covering the Raiders, so I know the team very well. And I had been saying, going back all the way to the Khalil Mack days, and of course now they have Max Crosby there on the edge, but they needed to get an interior presence right on that defensive line to help some of those edge guys out, and they finally got that done with Wilkins. So I agree, although it's a lot of money, it was a good move. And then on the flip side of that, you know, let's take a look at some teams that maybe haven't done anything quite yet, who you thought might be a little bit more aggressive. I know Jerry Jones was saying that the Cowboys were going to be all in on free agency, and unless I've missed something, I can't see any significant moves that they've made. But is there a team that you can point to and say they better get things going?
It's the Cowboys. I mean, and if Jerry Jones hadn't said what he said, maybe it's a different narrative. I don't know. Yeah. Because I get it. They have to pay CeeDee Lamb. They have to pay Micah Parsons. They can't get crazy with the salary cap now. But when your owner comes out and says, we're all in, it's not about future years, it's about this year. Go back and look at his quotes. It's very clear that I don't know how else you can interpret it other than we are going to mortgage some of our future to make a push this year, whether that's cap stuff or draft pick trades or whatever. And to just sit on your hands, it has to be so disappointing for Cowboys fans because on the flip side of it, the Eagles, look, they add Barkley, they add Huff. The Giants add Brian Burns, really, really good pass rusher from the Panthers. The Commanders have added about 10 guys, 10 to 12 guys who are going to help them. Meanwhile, Cowboys are just sitting back doing nothing. And I'm sure their fans are frustrated. They can't get over this hump in the playoffs. You have the owner coming out and saying, screw this, we're all in. And then you really don't believe you're all in after that. So I thought that was... it's disappointing. You'd like to see the Cowboys splash around a little bit more. I kind of get it because of their extensions coming up, but I'm also not the guy who said they're going to be all in this offseason. So also two other teams, I really, they're both in the AFC East. I thought the Bills took a step back. I mean, I get it. Every single one of these guys, you could say, well, Gabe Davis is inconsistent and Morse is getting up there in age and what you could justify every single move they made. But the truth is, they lost a lot of depth this offseason because of the cap, and it's hard to replace that, and they don't have the resources to replace that. And even a Gabe Davis, yeah, he might have been very inconsistent for them, but who's replacing him in their offense? You need somebody other than Stephon Diggs, who took a step back last season. And then the Miami Dolphins, same thing. They've rebounded a little. They've signed a couple guys, but a lot of guys had to go from the Dolphins just for them to get under the cap, and especially in anticipation of this Tua Tagovailoa extension. So I thought the Bills and Dolphins took steps back, and that's got to be disappointing for them after really, really good seasons for both that both ended in playoff disappointment.
Yeah, and I can attest to the Buffalo Bills. I actually live in Buffalo. That's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I listen to a lot of local sports talk radio in the morning. I work with a lot of Bills fans, and so I'm hearing it firsthand from Buffalo Bills fans. And you're right on the money. They're proceeding with cautiously optimistic is what I can tell you about the upcoming season with all the changes that are going on with the roster. But Frank Schwab, we appreciate your time and all of your insight. Please do me a favor and go out there and follow Frank on X at Yahoo Schwab. He's a great follow, a lot of good information, and you can find his work on yahoosports.com. Thanks for the time, Frank.
Appreciate it.